you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
And Asa Gray.
Yes.
And an empty chair. Ghost of...
I didn't know.
I got a footrest. It's cool.
It's the ghost of Mandy and Lindsay. They're both joining us in spirit.
Listen. They're not actually dead. Just because you made it sound like they're dead.
No, it's fine. It's fine. They're very much alive.
It's our in memoriam of 2017. We have two more guys.
Yeah, remember what we talked about on Thursday, how we'd have possible some announcements? Well, you know, stuff happened. Things.
Oh, I do want to make you feel better because I listened to Thursday's show. I did have fun in that Indianapolis trip.
Okay, good.
Because I wasn't here to confirm it, but you did confirm it for me. I did have a good time. So if anybody listens to a bunch of shows and understands what we're talking about, if not, go back and listen to Thursday's show.
It was a pretty good show.
Yeah, no, it was really good. But what I'm saying is I don't want you to feel bad. Like, I don't want any part of you to doubt that I didn't have fun that trip.
Because a little bit of me did. the more Shannon talked, he started convincing me, like, maybe Dalton didn't have fun.
Were you kind of unbearable? Yeah. But did I have a good time? Yes. Like, it was a yes on both fronts.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. On to the topic of the day, or topics of the day. First, we'll start with our video games. This section of the podcast is brought to you by our friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find all of their content at ps2jshow.com. They got a lot of great stuff out there. And Josh, thank you very much for my Christmas present.
Wait, what?
All right, so paid Switch online service will be delayed to fall of 2018. Presumably they're wanting to make it a more...
Have an online service?
Yeah. Get a more featureful service going before they start charging people for it.
All right, I'm going to be this guy. What's their online service like right now?
I have not played any games online.
Yeah, can do like basic matchmaking, and I don't know if the Splatoon 2... like. Apple level number of dongles and plugins you have to do to be able to do voice chat is still a thing, but
yeah, I feel like
I don't play Mario Kart and I don't play Splatoon. Like, everything I play on my Switch is single player.
Because I want to say, like, we heard a while back that they started supporting USB microphones on the Switch. I want to say that's the truth.
USB was support accessories. Were supported on the Switch.
Yeah.
But there wasn't like a, hey, we now support USB microphones. It's just there's a microphone that happens to be USB and Switch supports USB, because it was the same thing with the GameCube controller adapter.
Because they did that by accident. They added support for it, and then suddenly it all just worked.
Right.
Whoops. Which,
yeah, no, I mean, that's the happiest kind of accident. Like, whenever you...
Bob Ross.
Exactly. Make a happy little tree here. No, I do that at work sometimes whenever, like, something just, like, accidentally works. I'm like, oh, sweet.
I don't know why, but I'm not going to touch it anymore.
I'm going to treat it like a delicate ecosystem, and I'm going to back out. It's all working right now. Anyway, I don't know what that situation is, because, yeah, I haven't had any real interest in playing any of my Switch games online.
Yeah, I was curious because I'm out of the table. I'm the only one that doesn't have one, so I didn't know what the online service currently is.
Right, right.
Because they mentioned that they were gonna launch it. And then they were going to give you like 8 months, 5-8 months, and then they were going to charge you for it.
Yeah.
Which, double birds, Nintendo, but...
Because, I mean, it was originally supposed to be late 2017.
That's right.
I mean, it's supposed to be fall 2017. And, like, not really double birds, because it's like, hey, it's supposed to be, okay, you're getting a feel for what we're doing. Everyone else, except for PC, like, is charging for their online. So, of course, they're going to, too.
Yeah.
The problem is Sony and Microsoft have that infrastructure and, like... the ease of using online that Nintendo does not at all.
Right.
Between friend codes, between just the phone, having to use a phone app to do voice chat, like, none of that is okay.
Nintendo is that kid watching his older brothers / younger brother to the pool swimming around, and he's got, like, floaties on his legs and arms, and he's just kind of dunking his toe in the water that is internet.
For sake of the argument, I want it to be older brother. Because that's a way funnier visual than me.
It is a really funny visual. Like, I will agree with that. And if finally getting into the shallow end, and it's...
Except this one, he, like, is going too fast and gets too deep, and he doesn't realize that he can't touch bottom anymore. Now he's just flailing and panicking.
Yes. He jumped into the deep end head first.
Not quite that bad. I mean, no. it's bad. Like they're because I'm wrong about the Switch. I'm glad it's a success. I love my Switch. Still no virtual console. Still no any like there. It is very feature light.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Including something that is for it to be a competitive for something to stop me from playing my PS4 or my Xbox One, especially now that I have like my TV and everything hooked up at home.
Mm.
Yeah, it's going to need to do something really special.
Yeah.
Which, granted, like the yearly price point was super low. It was like $20 for a year, something like that.
Yeah,
I remember.
Like 20 or 30.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what, but yeah, it was significantly cheaper than its competitors.
It's just, yeah, I don't want to have to use voice chat. And it was that thing where it's like, oh, you can't use voice chat if you're out of the app. So yeah. Like you can't respond to a text.
Yeah,
like,
honestly, the fact that the voice chat is in an app like on your phone
is garbage.
Yes.
That's just, that's terrible. So, like, hopefully that's something that they're trying to fix, like they're trying to do away with.
Yeah.
So hopefully they are, because it's that Miyamoto philosophy of a delayed game is eventually good, a rushed game is bad forever.
Yes.
Which now in the age of patches and everything, that's less true. But I would much rather Nintendo take their time and put out something that is viable. I don't think it's going to do any. It will. I even at their best, I don't see this being anything but third place in online offerings.
Yeah.
In a home console market.
Yeah.
But like, I want them to take their time and to do it as good and as customer friendly as they can. As opposed to what they had teased when they initially made the announcement, because all of that just sounded awful.
Yep. Yeah, no, everything about that. And like watching the setup for the online chat, like just give us a background app. It's really not hard. Like Xbox has been doing it since the original Xbox. Like you can make an, like, well, maybe not in the original Xbox. I know at the very least on the 360, you could have an external party. Like, if you can do that on the Xbox 360, there's no reason why you can't do that on the Switch.
Right.
External party system and USB microphones to support it. You can do wireless. Nintendo, you can make bank on that. Look at Sony. Like, the gold headsets, stupid popular headsets. They're really good for $100. And they're wireless.
I got mine for 60.
I also got mine for 60.
Unless you put them on the wrong ear. So, just real quick story. I was playing Grand Theft Auto Online with Shannon and Bob one night. And they just could not hear me. I could hear them fine, but they're like, dude, it sounds like you're far away. It sounds like you're on the other side of the room. I was like, of course, I got it for 60, so it's probably broken, and I'm not going to be able to get it. Like, I was so frustrated. The next night, worked just fine. Couldn't tell. I had them backwards.
Yep.
Because it doesn't have any sort of external, like, where your mic is. And so for whatever reason, my mic was facing behind me because it was on.
Yep. Shannon actually had the same problem. He was using it on his PC, and he didn't realize what was going on. I told him, like, because we couldn't hear him at all.
Yeah.
But I could hear Lindsay in the background. And he was so confused, and so were we. And I was like, all right, Shannon, I know this is going to sound ridiculous. Turn the headset around. And then as he's turning around, you see him say, like, this is so stupid, Jesse Campbell. I don't know. Oh. Hey, buddy.
Yep.
So, yeah. Outside of that, yeah, PS4 Gold's a great headset. And it works on everything. I use it for my Xbox One, my PS4, and my PC sometimes. Though I have that really nice headset on PC.
I need
to
find my dongle. Uh-oh. I'm pretty sure I know where it is, but I also haven't had a reason to look for it recently.
Right.
So I just found the headset and I have it charged and everything ready to go. It literally just dawned on me. It's like, oh, I don't have the dongle, I don't think.
If you use it on Xbox One, you don't have to have the dongle.
You just plug it into the. You just use that wire to plug it into the.
Yep.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure that actually works on PS4 as well. If you use that wire, plug it into the controller, then you don't need the dongle.
Okay, because I do have that. I did find that. Dude. So.
I think I don't because I don't think it needs power.
I'll
at all.
Test it.
Yeah.
I got time.
Right. You're good to go. Anyway, moving past it, Zelda. So speaking of, you know, sticking with Nintendo here, they already have another game underway. Which, yes, please. I need more Zelda. Breath of the Wild was so good.
So part of me doesn't want it to be like Breath of the Wild 2.
I mean,
I don't know if I want another like giant crazy open world like that again. I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's just,
I mean,
I wasn't as crazy about Breath of the Wild as everybody else. And I'm also not a huge, like, I'm not the biggest Zelda fan in the world. Like, I have very great respect and appreciation for it, but there's always been parts of it that have kind of kept me away or kept me at arm's distance, I should say.
I don't want the same map.
Oh, no.
Like, give me, like, I will happily take that open world stuff again because that was just awesome. I loved every bit of that. It gave me like great reason to explore everything and stuff to do, and I really, really liked it.
I think, I mean, just like, because this was one that they used kind of greatest hits of Zelda. You have Mount Doom, you have like everything that we've gotten from previous Zelda games, we've gotten. It was done so well in that open world. I don't want to see it do like, okay, so we still have Mount Doom. We still have the Zora area, but we're just shaking up like where everything is.
Mm.
Like, I think it would have to be something like crazy different. Like the Gerudo desert, like you have all of these different great environments that if you go back to this open world, I don't know how they can do it and make it not just feel like, oh, well, this is just like Breath of the Wild.
I mean, there are... Every Zelda game has their version of the Zora Domain and everything else, and the Gerudo Desert.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's always been different though, with the exception of like games that are direct sequels to previous games.
Mm-hmm.
But since Zelda doesn't always work like that, the maps end up being pretty drastically different sometimes. Well, I mean,
like going from like Ocarina and Majora's Mask and Link to the Past and all of that to Wind Waker.
Oh, yeah.
Where you have those things, but it's the way you traverse to get there is crazy different.
Yes.
Than anything we've gotten before. So whereas now it's like, okay, but if I'm just riding on a horse or motorcycle, if you beat the DLC from the second one, like, I don't, and again, like, I know this just sounds weird and like nitpicky, but it's like, as much as I love Breath of the Wild, I want it to be.
I'm going to hit you with something real quick.
Yeah.
Steampunk Zelda.
Eh.
Navigating around with like you can navigate around on an airship, moving around in a world of technology.
I mean, it could be cool, and like, and if Nintendo's gonna do it, they're gonna do it well.
I mean, I'm making myself really happy thinking about that.
But that's not something that I personally would be like clamoring for.
Well, I mean, you didn't clamor for the first one, so.
No, but I love Ocarina of Majora.
Did you say Ocarina?
Ocarina of Majora.
No, I said Ocarina and Majora.
I don't think you did.
Not what you said. I'm pretty sure I did. It doesn't matter. Not the point.
Go ahead.
No, like, I love Zelda. I just don't have a Switch. Like, it's one of those things where it's just, that doesn't feel at place in Legend of Zelda. I'm not saying it wouldn't work. Exactly what Asa said. If Nintendo did it, they would do it well. It just doesn't.
Because, I mean, they had some kind of, like, steampunk-ish elements in, like, Breath of the Wild, even.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, if they just, like, continue that technology, then I think it could be really, really cool.
Jump forward like however many years it is that Ganon comes back.
Yes.
Because Legend of Zelda timeline is that.
There's
no timeline.
There is one. Like, they finally released one. It makes no sense. But it is that thing where it's like all of the... It's kind of like Mario.
Yeah.
Where they're all actors playing a role, so that's why they go karting together as well as, you know, oh, Bowser's trying to take over the world. It's just kind of like, here is just a set of stories that all are not necessarily connected to each other, but sometimes they are. And
they're connected to each other in that there's always a Ganon, a Link, and a Zelda.
Right. Yeah, because Hyrule Historia came out like, what, 3-4 years ago?
Mm.
And that was what, and I think Britt got that for Christmas a long time ago, and I read it, and I was just like, I mean, I love Legend of Zelda, and this makes no sense to me.
It's like the timeline is convoluted, but it makes sense.
Unless there's two games that you were playing that are direct sequel to another, like was Ocarina of Majora, that's a direct sequel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But it's that one and like one of the Link to the Past, isn't it?
Wind Waker and Spirit Tracks and what was the next one? Actually, I think it was between Spirit Tracks and...
But what we're getting at is there's no timeline unless you play a direct sequel game.
They released an actual timeline of, like, where they are.
Because it's a lot of what-if stuff.
But that's what's convoluted. Like, Link's Awakening was all a dream that happened before Link's Adventure. Like, yeah, it's...
And it becomes one of those things, like, this game happens assuming that Link lost to Ganon in this game and, like, all this other stuff. And, like, whenever you look at it like that, you're like, okay, I can see that. Like, but... It's super convoluted. It's not a linear set of games by any stretch. It's a whole bunch of what-if scenarios and a huge universe. But anyway, I'm excited for another Zelda because I just absolutely love this one.
I think it's just the thing that Breath of the Wild was so good that it's hard for me to see them like doing a really crazy successful follow-up if they follow that same formula.
I agree.
Like, I think that's what I'm trying to get at through all my rambling.
Because, yeah, like... I trust them to do it because
You
go from like Ocarina to Majora,
mm-hmm.
like a lot of people were upset with Majora's Mask because it was Kid Link and everybody wanted Adult Link.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but the game was still just incredible. Like there are people out there that say that Majora's Mask is better than Ocarina of Time. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're wrong, but those people do exist, and they legitimately believe that. And then you get to, like, to Wind Waker, and that was a big disappointment for everybody. Because, again...
See, was it... Like, I just thought... I thought it was people were really mad about the art style. And then they played it, and they're like, oh, wait, but this game is amazing.
It was exactly the same situation. They were really upset because, again, everybody wanted Adult Link. Mm-hmm. Because that was the best part of Ocarina of Time.
So then they gave him Twilight Princess.
Yes.
And they're like, here, you want Adult Link? You want Dark and Gritty Link?
Here you go.
This is what you asked for. You wanted this.
And I mean, like, there are people that think that Twilight Princess is one of the best Zelda games out there. And yeah, same thing with, like, once that people played Wind Waker, they're like, holy crap, this game is fun.
And then Skyward Sword.
Oh.
Everyone loves Skyward Sword.
Good old Wii controls.
Bomb bowling.
Bomb bowling.
Yeah, no, the Skyward Sword just really, like, it was a good game, but boy, those mechanics were awful.
I watched somebody playing it one time and giggled.
The mechanics were so bad. So bad.
Thanks, Nintendo.
Yeah.
But the Switch is good.
The Switch is great.
They did it well-ish.
Not in that.
No. No, they didn't. Those Wii controls were bad. They were like, all right, we got this Motion Plus thing, so now it's even better motion controls. It wasn't.
Nope.
That's what was good about Ocarina of Time, whenever I was able to flail my arms to make the Ocarina work. But oh, God, that would look bad now.
But anyway, all right, so yeah, another Zelda. Kojima. He tweeted out that he's planning on announcing something in 2018 that will surprise everyone even more.
Now that's a teaser.
I mean, it's Kojima, and he reminds me of Ed Boon a lot too.
Yeah,
he loves to just troll, and not even troll. Like, he doesn't do it antagonistically, but boy, he just loves leaving little breadcrumbs for people. Because his fan base is so rabid and so desperate for any sort of, like, news or announcement or anything that, I mean, like...
It really is like him flicking a crumb into, like, a crowd of hungry dogs.
Yeah.
And they just go nuts over it. But they don't eat it. They want to analyze it first. What's the purpose of this crumb? Are there more crumbs to come?
So my guess is they're going to announce... It depends on when this announcement comes, because that's the other thing, is he didn't tell us.
Yep.
My guess is that he's going to reveal the Death Stranding release date, and it's going to be like
way sooner.
It's going to be like November 2018.
Because this tweet did come with the information that Kojima actually said that the Death Stranding development is going significantly faster than he thought it was going.
Well, was it that, or was it just it's a lot farther than a lot of people think? It was something like that.
Something along those lines.
Yeah. So,
but it was all in Japanese, and I guess there was some various translations out there.
If there's one thing I've been learning in the last couple of days, is the Japanese translations do not always work as well as you would think.
I'm going to need to hear about that later.
The New Japan
app. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so like that is my guess. I've seen that some people are announcing there's going to be like a documentary that comes out at the same time as Death Stranding.
Hmm.
Because Kojima is very much involved in cinema. Like, that's why he wants to work with Guillermo del Toro, and he loves movies, and he wants...
Right.
He got into games, so he could get into movies.
Yeah.
And then you have, like, the way out there theories. Like, he bought Metal Gear from Konami or something. Like, yeah, like, it's...
Yeah, no, I know that's not your idea.
No, yeah, that's... There's a lot of speculation, but I think it's just believable enough that if he has been working... as hard as he probably has been with this team of people, like, he really wants to make a good impression and, like, really show that, okay, I can't do Metal Gear anymore, but I have my own thing he's going to be driven. I could see Death Stranding being, you know, 2018. I know we made the joke when the trailer for the Game Awards or Games Week or whatever we just talked about,
mm-hmm.
where it was just like, oh, yeah, that game's not coming out until 2020. That's also a very strong possibility.
Yes.
But, like, an announcement that's even more surprising, like, that's what everybody assumes, is that this game's not going to be out for another 2-3 years.
Yes. We'll have to see. Yeah. Kojima's just going to do whatever he wants.
It'll be something cool.
Yeah.
Because, like, Kojima's not someone that's going to be like, hey, and guess what? If you pre-order, you get a steelbook. Like, it's going to be
That's not Kojima.
Yeah, it's going to be something substantial.
But anyway, we'll update you guys as we get updated. So CCP. They are the people behind EVE Online. We've talked about this game before. If you are really big into space exploration, check out this game if you've never heard of it.
If you're really big into space exploration and you want a second full-time job,
yes,
check out EVE Online.
I tried playing that game. A bunch of my friends got addicted to it in high school, and I just never could get into it. But there are people that actually do make careers out of playing EVE Online because there's a significant economy in the game. It's all complete, 100% player-driven economy. So you can actually sell and earn money. And it's a free-to-play now, too. So you actually can go online. Because back when I was in high school, it was $15 a month to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'm already paying for World of Warcraft. This is really boring. And again, guys, it was really boring to me. Because I'm sure we've got some fans of EVE Online out there. And fans of EVE Online are fans of EVE Online.
Which is fine. We're not saying you shouldn't like this thing. It's just it wasn't for us.
Yes, that's the point I'm trying to get to.
I'm infinitely fascinated by it. I don't know if you remember probably about a year ago, maybe?
That giant space battle?
The one where someone opened a warp too early or in the wrong place and it jumped them into enemy territory. So it was just their biggest ship accidentally just shows up in the middle of an enemy faction's army.
Mm-hmm.
And it was and it ended up being hundreds of thousands of dollars or something ridiculous.
Yeah. And it's also really cool. Part of what fascinates me about that is Asa talks about enemy faction. We're not talking about Alliance and Horde here. These are player-made and upkept corporations is what they're called in the game.
Yeah, this isn't just you chose which one you joined at the beginning of the game. This was just...
You joined a
they
corporation.
They found each other. Yeah. You have to apply.
To some of these, yeah. It's ridiculous. It's a fascinating game. But it's just, there's so much, macro stuff. And there's not enough, individual stuff to do. And you can't, grind out skills or anything like that. Because, all of your level up stuff happens via adding mods that apply themselves in real time, whether you're playing or not. And the only way to speed that up is by getting different mods to speed up that process.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because didn't you tell the story where there was one, it was 8 days?
30.
30 days, that's what it was.
That was the last mod that I ever purchased because I was, for my corporation, I was going to be the stealth bomber because I was kind of a new player and there was a pretty quick tree to get to it. And in order to get bombs, or no, in order to get stealth on my stealth bomber, I had to learn a skill that took 30 days to learn.
I mean, in fairness, in intergalactic warfare, 30 days to learn that skill is pretty good.
I mean, it's one thing, but it was just I'm paying $15 to learn this one skill.
But you get but you learn it in 30 days and you become really good at it. I don't know how long it took Luke to be a Master Jedi, but I'm willing to say it took longer than 30 days.
Yeah, but yeah, my job for the corporation, once I got the stealth bomber, was to be the first one through these warp gates and see if there was an enemy army waiting. And if there was, I was going to bomb them. Which sounded like a lot of fun, but then I was 30 days to get stealth, huh?
Yikes.
All right, well, I guess I don't have anything to do because there's literally nothing for me to do in that 30 days. I didn't have the necessary equipment to do some of the farming runs efficiently. So I was just like...
Nobody wants to be a normal bomber. Be a stealth bomber. It's part of the name.
Well, yeah, because if you don't go through that warp gate stealthed and there's an enemy corporation waiting for you, then you just walk through and they're just ready.
Yep.
And they just fire on you.
Every gun on that one ship.
Do you think you got them?
But if you go through stealth, they're like, I wonder if someone's coming. Oh, God.
Why am I on fire?
Anyway, so yeah, EVE Online fascinates me, but there's just so little for me to do.
Right.
As I prefer the ARPGs where I just do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of it is just the ship battles in EVE Online were super boring to me because you click on the ship, you hit orbit, and then you send your bombs at them.
Wasn't there a VR EVE thing that came out with PSVR?
Probably.
PSVR, Oculus.
There was something announced for it, I think, but I don't think it ever happened.
We'll have to ask Shannon on that one.
Yeah.
EVE Online, we don't understand it, but man, it makes for a lot of really great comedic material.
Yeah. Now the actual news with CCP.
I was getting ready to ask, wait, what was the news about EVE?
They're working on a new and highly ambitious MMORPG. And one of the things they've talked about before, and something that really fascinated me, was basically a first-person shooter that's related to EVE Online. Like, you could actually be
Ground
hired.
Force?
Yeah.
Foo.
Like, you could actually be hired to, like, by these corporations to do stuff on the ground. And, yeah, like, there's the whole world there. And that sounded interesting to me just because, like, there's more, there would be more stuff to do.
That sounds terrifying.
Until it takes a month to build a gun.
But if I can actually run around and do stuff, like, and I don't just click on the enemy and hit orbit and then just, like, send my three attacks at them.
Oh, that'd be the worst first-person shooter.
It's not orbit, it's strafe.
I would be good at this first-person shooter. My reaction time wouldn't be, have to be as good.
No. No, it wouldn't.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Just so, whose number is higher.
Yeah, we'll have to see what this is going to be like. Because, yeah, I like I said, I really like the idea, and the player-driven economy stuff, when done right, is cool as all get out. But, yeah.
Maybe that's Kojima's announcement. Yeah, he's working on this.
God. Huh. I don't know if I'm happy or not.
Like, buying Metal Gear seems more reasonable at this point.
So anyway, we'll update you guys with what we have there. Because, again, that was just really vague announcement.
Right.
And I know, like, the core family of EVE, like I said, they are very into that game. Like,
just hearing, like, MMO first person, like, in the EVE universe just sounds so terrifying to me.
Because that universe is gigantic.
Like, that's another one where it'd be like, yeah, that would be super cool. I look forward to hearing people I know tell me all about it.
Yeah. Because, yeah, if you guys don't know how big this map is, like, when I say it's gigantic, I mean it's gigantic.
It's a universe.
Yeah, to get from, like, without, like, doing the hyperspace flight, like, fast travel, basically, in this game, if you want to go to the furthest two points in that universe, like, it will take you literal days. Like, I think it's something like a week and a half of just, like, constant flight time to get from the two furthest points. And that's just in a straight line from the two furthest points. There's still, like, you know, every other direction.
God forbid there be a planet in that straight line. You're going to have to warp around that.
Nah, you do automatically.
That's, you do automatically?
You automatically move around planets and everything.
Oh, that's not as fun.
But anyway. Comic books. This section of the podcast is brought to you by our friends in Perryville, Missouri, Villainous Grounds. Stop by there for all of your comic book needs and also get a cup of coffee. It's delicious coffee.
That was a good plug.
Thank you.
It's delicious coffee. That's going to be under it's Villainous Grounds.
Oh, sorry. Villainous Grounds. Did I do that right?
Delicious
no.
coffee.
No, you did not. No, you did not.
Sorry, guys. That's a little bit of an inside joke. The people of Villainous Grounds are laughing. Anyway, Dan Slott. Asa and I have talked about this before. This dude, well, you haven't had any input on this. Don't look at me like that.
What, Dan Slott? Yeah, no, I know about it.
Well, yeah.
You know about it.
I've talked about it.
Have you?
Yeah, I'm on the shows with you.
No, he means, like, outside of the shows.
Oh, okay.
Like, we talk about Dan Slott a lot.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
I was like,
it comes up in just everyday conversation. We're not just talking about, like,
on
here.
The show.
Okay,
yeah.
I was about to say, I was like, what, have I been, like, imagining that this is not my first nerd up?
Sometimes Jesse and I talk, and there's not microphones in front of us.
What? Wait, huh?
Yeah, I know, right?
This is really crazy.
I feel betrayed, too. All right, what's up with Dan Slott since I never talk about him?
Okay, well, so you should know Dan Slott is the writer. I'm letting you know he's the writer of The Amazing Spider-Man.
Okay,
and he's been such since 2008.
Yep,
like he has been the writer of Amazing Spider-Man. Like I don't know, like Ace and I have speculated like what kind of dirt he has on like Marvel execs.
Yeah,
we don't know, and like he's had some of like. In that period of time, he's had some of Spider-Man's best runs, and he's had some of Spider-Man's worst runs.
Yeah, he's a very dynamic writer.
Because he did Superior, because Amazing was out for a while, and I love Superior.
Yeah, because Amazing ended with issue 700, and Superior Spider-Man started. And then that just went to
Back to
Amazing Spider-Man, and it started over with issue 1 again and part of their rebranding stuff. And they did it really well. That was a phenomenal storyline.
Yeah.
And
it was one where it was like, when you look at the elements and everything that happened, boy, that could have been bad.
Yes.
Like, it could have been just the worst of the comic booky tropes of death and everything. Yep. But it was done really, really well.
Yes. No. Hats off. Like, when he does it right, like, when Dan Slott hits it right, like, he really hits it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have, like, what he did with Doc Ock after that.
Yeah.
And that's pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
Doc Ock is a clone of Spider-Man now. Or a clone of Peter Parker now.
Well, yeah. Pretty big distinction there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you have superhero can, like, climb walls and sling through webs.
And then you have...
And then some, like, nerdy, like, used to work for a newspaper, now he's some rich millionaire dude, like...
Well, not anymore. Apparently that went out the window of Secret Empire.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Doc Ock kind of ruined it.
Huh. I know nothing about Secret Empire, so that's... Honestly, like, I'm okay with that. Because it's one of those things where, like, one of the biggest things about Spider-Man is Spider-Man... Peter Parker is not allowed to be happy. Like, that is a very important aspect of Spider-Man as a character, is Peter Parker is not allowed to
be... He's always best when he's unhappy.
Right.
And boy, does some unhappy things happen to Peter Parker. That dude's life is awful.
I know, and that's what makes Spider-Man so good.
So, yeah, and he's had some really good stuff, except for, yeah, like I said, Dr. Octopus now is super, like, what mm-hmm. what on earth? You basically have now Spider-Man.
Because wasn't his consciousness in a robot?
Yes, it was. And then...
Now he's a...
Yeah, Park because Club. With
The white hot room.
What was the arc called where it was the like the crossover spider arc where they had the
Spider-Verse?
No, it wasn't Spider-Verse. It was
Edge
the one
of Spider-Verse. Spider-Man 2.
All right, Spider-Man 2 is really good. I like Spider-Man 2 a lot.
Written Death by Stranding.
No, it was I don't remember what it was, but basically the gist of the arc was that it was something to do with clones.
Clone conspiracy?
Was it called clone conspiracy?
I don't know. It's fine.
Or was it the clone saga? No, that was way before.
Because I also thought clone conspiracy, but I think that's something else.
It's fine.
Either way, that was the name of the arc. And there's a bunch of cloning happening, and the guy that's cloned Peter Parker before Jackal.
I think that was clone conspiracy.
Yeah.
I think it was clone conspiracy. The more I think about it, the more I'm thinking you're right. Anyway, the Jackal has perfected the cloning for the most part, and he actually is able to bring someone back to life with every single memory they had right up to the point of their death, and including remembering their death, which sounds horrifying.
Yeah.
No. But anyway, like, it wasn't completely perfect, though, because you had to take this medicine, like, every day, and if you didn't, you'd start to decompose. He was actually using that to keep people in line because he resurrected a bunch of villains, basically trying to make Peter Parker feel better about, like, his life decisions. And because, I mean, Peter has a whole lot of stuff weighing on him because he's gotten a lot of people killed.
Right.
So he brought back all the people that Peter's gotten killed, villains included, which, of course, ended horribly.
Who could have seen this coming?
Right? And then...
Oh, do you mean, like, story-wise, not just the Ben Reilly Scarlet Spider?
That, I mean, yeah, that was an awful...
With the Muppet Mouth mask?
Oh, God. That was just bad art. Like,
it was a bad book.
It was a bad book.
That first issue.
I read the first two issues, and yeah, woof is right.
Why'd you read the second one?
I don't know. Why is it still going? that's the better... They're... Five Marvel books have been canceled in March, and that's not one of them.
Yeah, I got
nothing on that. We're losing Generation X, She-Hulk, Iceman. Yeah, Iceman's getting canceled.
Oh.
Possibly America and Unbelievable Gwenpool are all getting canceled. Scarlet Spider's still going.
I'm upset, really upset about one of those. You'll find out about it later, guys.
Damn it. I don't want to do this episode anymore.
I mean, it's gonna finish out its story.
Oh, good. I'm happy that it's going to finish out the story.
But apparently there were dozens of you buying that book.
And we were all right.
Because that's the thing. Like, you look at the sales, and it's not like they canceled successful books.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate. But
no,
I just can't believe the good one.
I
just can't believe that Scarlet Spider is successful.
Yeah, and like, that's...
Because She-Hulk and Gwenpool are legitimately good. And I believe Dalton absolutely that Iceman is good.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Anyway, so Dan Slott, he's finishing up. His last arc will begin with issue 797. And it will be a Green Goblin heavy arc called Go Down Swinging. And it's going to introduce a new character. We're not sure if it's hero or villain, called the Red Goblin.
So, all right. I'm intrigued. I don't know if I will buy this run at all. But I don't like the idea of introducing a brand new character seemingly like... I feel like they wouldn't make this announcement that this new character is being announced or is being introduced if it wasn't supposed to be like a big deal.
Mm.
I don't like the idea of introducing a brand new character and then just piecing out.
Yeah.
Because then it's like whoever takes over for Slot, which we don't know who it'll be yet, but whoever takes over for Slot, Starsky. Like, oh my, that run.
Mm-hmm. That's actually legitimately good.
It'll be like, are people then going to be like, okay, well, where's Red Goblin? But the person who takes over, like, I don't want to write Red Goblin. Because, like, we genuinely saw that with Star Wars, like in this new trilogy where we have two directors and two movies, and the second director being like, you made all these choices in your movie. I don't agree. So, bye.
In fairness, the way Disney's been doing this, I very much doubt that Rian Johnson had that much input on what happened.
I mean, he may not have, but. At the same time, like, he may have thought, like, well, this is the story I want to tell. And if you get that with whoever is taking over for Spider-Man, then hi, Red Goblin. Thanks for coming. Which, granted, his that story may only be contained within this arc.
Yeah, it's a distinct possibility. Like, it might just be, like, a mutation of Norman Osborn.
Oh, or, I don't want to see that again.
Like, there's all sorts of things that it could be.
I haven't read a Dan Slott Spider-Man book in a while. Like, I'm pretty far behind, but I'm pretty Goblin fatigued.
I mean, every Spider-Man fan is. Like, he's just been kind of, like, it's one of those things, like, Goblin is always just an ever-present thing.
Right.
Like, he'll be the guy that you see where it's like, you know, we need a villain. We haven't heard from Green Goblin in a while.
He's Joker in the animated, for Batman animated series.
Yeah. He just gets tossed in
except,
there.
Except, like, Mark Hamill and, like, the writing of that was so strong, so consistently, no one really minded that there's another Joker episode.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, with Goblin, it's very hit or miss, and you can kind of tell it's the time filler between big events.
Yeah. Because, like, Spider-Man has been, like, it's been a really interesting, like, angle to take Spider-Man, like, with the whole Parker Industries thing.
Right.
Because he did basically kind of become the new Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
And it was neat, and, you know, he had all of his relationships there with a bunch of people. Like, he was actually working with a ton of people for once, which normally he doesn't. Like, he plays everything just kind of close to the vest.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was really interesting. Like, he's even established now a romantic relationship with Mockingbird, which I was all on board with. I love Mockingbird, so. Mm-hmm. And I was really unhappy that her book got canceled, because her book was also really fun. It only got two arcs.
Huh.
That was bad. Anyway, so, yeah. Go down swinging. And part of me is worried that they're just going to kill Peter Parker again on issue 800.
He's going to just, like, nuke it on his way out.
Yeah. I really don't
Good
want that
to happen. Good luck,
everybody else. Exactly.
I mean, I would hope he wouldn't. And there's so many other Spider-Man books that are within this universe that I think that would be hard to do. Be like, hey, Chip, go back to Howard the Duck.
Oh.
Like, yeah, like, I don't.
Yeah, I really hope that's not the case. But other characters getting resurrected, possibly. So, yeah, Hellboy.
It's comic books. They could do.
They could do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all over the place. But Peter Parker's been resurrected several times. But anyway, Hellboy. Looks like he is returning. He's been dead since 2011, I think. He had some adventures in Hell. That's all we've really seen out of Hellboy. We have teased his return now. In issue 5 of BPRD, The Devil You Know. So for those of you, you know, up to date on the Mignola verse, that's, I mean, you're probably aware of this. But yeah, for those of you that have been waiting for Hellboy to come back, start, I guess, reading BPRD, The Devil You Know, and that will happen soonish.
Will, now in this, I don't know if we actually see Hellboy or if it's just tease, but like from panel to panel, does his giant stone arm switch? For no reason?
No, it never does, Ed Boon.
Okay,
never does.
So, but he smokes a giant cigarette, right? Like, it's not a cigar, it's just a really big cigarette.
Listen, Ed, I know you're trying your best.
Give me turtles. Just give me the turtles now.
We got like 4 months.
And I will call it even, but Hellboy's such a disappointing character in that game.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he is. The joke is Injustice too, guys, if you haven't listened to us before.
It's so...
They introduced Hellboy, and those things happen.
Yep.
Anyway, all right, so now movies and TV, we don't have a sponsor for this part yet, so.
This one's for free, guys.
Yeah, so listeners out there, if you'd like to sponsor, Marcus Theaters, well, I should talk to them. They used to do a sponsorship for Nerd Word back in the day. It was another radio
Bigger
show.
Than them?
That's right, we actually are. anyway, Last Jedi is set to pass.
Get canceled by a fountain.
It got canceled because the guys graduated.
No, I like that better.
But then, well, the radio station did get canceled by a fountain. Oh. Probably SEMO things. Anyway, The Last Jedi is set to pass $1 billion worldwide box office. It's going to pass Wonder Woman as the number two.
Nobody tell Mandy. She's not here. She's not going to listen. Just nobody tell Mandy.
I don't plan on telling Mandy. Yeah, no, like there was actually, so I saw an article the other day that was just completely ridiculous to me about somebody that was really salty about The Last Jedi. And
you would not like that movie.
Yeah, no, like, I'm not throwing shade at anybody. I'm legitimately not. But yeah, somebody that was salty about the movie talked about how it's not making money as quickly as The Force Awakens did. So the title of the headline was, "Is Star Wars Salvageable?"
No, it's done. Just sell the property back
to
Lucas.
That's some Jim Cornette logic. Like.
At that point of the article, it said Star Wars The Last Jedi, and it said this in all seriousness. Star Wars The Last Jedi has only made $800 million. Is this the end of Star Wars?
I saw, okay, so.
No.
No, I, maybe he's on to something.
I saw a headline that, and this is no way, in like, that dude's an idiot. Whoever wrote that, if you were listening to this, your journalism is bad and you should feel bad.
Please stop listening to us. We don't want it to rub off.
No, keep listening. We want the numbers. But, you know, you are now obligated to go to Podzilla or patreon.com/podzilla1985 and start contributing. I saw a thing that the second, so because the opening weekend it made all money. The second weekend it still made a crazy amount of money. It was still the number one movie.
Yeah.
Like in the world, but the percentage drop off between Last Jedi and Force Awakens was pretty significant.
Yes.
Which, but again, it's approaching a billion with a B, as in boy, followed by $1 billion.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I mean, I say approaching 1 billion, it likely is there now. Last night, or when I looked at this last night on a Box Office Mojo, that's where I get my that information. They were at 9.6 million.
Yeah.
Like, they don't, it's not like they have much to go.
Yeah. They'll get that on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of those, like, and it, Kevin Smith always talked about with Clerks 2, just like the only people that are going to see Clerks 2 are the people that have seen Clerks 1. This isn't like Force Awakens, where it's the first in an ongoing trilogy. This is number two.
Right.
So the only people that are going to go seriously out of their way to see it are going to be the people that saw the Force Awakens.
Which it's a good thing for them that literally everybody saw the Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like I get that there are people have problems with the movie and everything else. And yeah, it's not making money as quickly as The Force Awakens did. But it's still making so much money.
It's when I say Jim Cornette, it's the thing like, yeah, I cannot like a thing, but I cannot sit here and be like, this is bad, I don't like it. So it's killing Star Wars. There won't be a Star Wars. They're not going to make Episode 9.
I heard Disney filed bankruptcy.
Yeah, like it's
yeah. After they have hit the milestone of making $6 billion in 2017, yeah, they're going bankrupt.
Well, it's because Last Jedi was so bad. And again, I didn't like Last Jedi either, but I'm not stupid. Yeah, like, it's two different things.
Yeah, like I said,
God, I want to write that guy a really mean thing on Xbox and get
link
banned
me that,
for a day.
Link me that article. I'm going to the comment section.
I went to the comment section. It was funny.
I hope it was. I hope people just tore him apart.
I mean, a lot of people are like, no, yeah, this movie was awful. I can't believe it's killing Star Wars. And I was like, I can't believe it. And then there are other people that are like, wait, are you serious? 800 million is doing bad now? What kind of world do we live in? I want to do bad, guys.
Yeah.
Can I do bad,
just
please?
Just a small loan of $1 million.
Hashtag can't believe it was on The Onion.
So anyway, yeah, that's happening. All right, and the last little bit of Star Wars, it's officially surpassed its purchasing price. So Disney is now making money on it.
Which means they need to sell it because they just ruined it with Last Jedi.
They bought it for $4.06 billion.
They're going to sell it to Fox. That's Kojima's announcement. He's buying Star Wars.
Wait a minute. Star Wars was purchased by Disney for $4.06 billion. The three films have outgrossed that.
Well, and also like movies and books or games
like
and books.
Merchandise.
And, like,
there's a bunch of other
stuff that's going to it. But of course, you know, with comic two books. Back-to-back movies pushing a billion,
They hit it.
Force Awakens. I was going to say Force Awakens hit it, yeah. So
didn't Rogue One hit a billion?
I have no idea.
That I don't remember.
Yeah, about to say, because
I mean, I know it did extremely well.
It wouldn't surprise me at all if it did. But no. Yeah, so it's that thing where it's like, well, there's, you know, half of it, you know, three movies in, and you only have a billion left. You only have a billion left to go.
And you're going to get it. Man. You're going to get it in 2 years.
Stupid.
But yeah, no, and like I said, between the comic book sales, like all this other stuff, because the comic books have all been doing extremely well. Like, yeah, no, Disney's making, yeah.
Are they canceling Mace Windu? Just break my heart.
I thought that was only like a mini series anyway.
I think it is, but
it's like a 6 issue or something.
I didn't know there was a Mace Windu comic.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
They need to do an audiobook. Sam Jackson.
Narrated by Sam Jackson.
Oh, yes. I want it so bad.
All right. And then the last thing I want to talk about before we get into our picks of the year, which I should have mentioned at the beginning of the episode. Whatever.
We'll put it
in
the description. They'll know.
Netflix. They finally aired their first big blockbuster movie. They dropped $90 million to have this movie made. Dalton has the memory of a goldfish.
I talked about it before the show, and he say that, and he's just like, huh?
The movie is Bright.
Shut up, Asa.
Which Dalton's not.
I really wish we had video of what Asa's doing right now, because it's fantastic.
I'm an airplane, you guys. Just flying right over Dalton's head.
So, oh, I thought you were doing the besties for a second. I was wondering.
All right. So anyway, Bright. It released. I watched it. It was okay. it stars Will Smith. You got it's directed by David Ayers. Max Landis is heavily involved.
He wrote it.
Yeah, heavily involved. Yeah,
he was around.
Yeah, he did some stuff. Anyway, yeah. So. Critically, it's not doing well, though, like, at all. All
right, so after, because I was on Netflix last night, and I saw the poster for it,
mm-hmm.
and just by seeing the poster, I could realize this movie wasn't for me.
Honestly, like, the movie is a phenomenal, like, first two episodes of a series. Like, I feel like they really should have done this as a TV series instead of a movie, and I understand they want to... they wanted a movie. That's what right. they wanted to do. But this would have been great as a series because I felt like so much stuff, like, they would hit on stuff that's like, ooh, I would like to know more about that. There is no more about that. Got it. Ooh, I would like to know more about that. Oh. Well, okay. Oh, that's neat. Oh, okay. Like, that was me through the whole movie. I'm like, man, this is really cool. Oh, that we're not going to talk about that. All right. Like, what just happened here? Oh, we're not going to talk about that either? Well, okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, they've already got a sequel underway. Like, Netflix was happy with it. They had, you know, a lot of people had watched it. Netflix can kind of just do whatever they want at this point. Like, they have money.
Yeah, their prices went up.
Yeah,
to fund this movie. Also, thanks for the Christmas present, Josh. Just checked my email.
Well.
I'm gonna check my email.
Asa picks up his phone.
I don't have an email.
I don't think you guys are friends on Blizz.
Yeah. You should. He's really fun to play with.
He is.
Yeah. I had my computer still not hooked up.
Oh, gotcha.
Need to get that underway. Anyway, but yeah, no, it like it's worth watching. Like I recommend you guys go out there and see it. Like there are a lot of people that just like really, really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll admit it's a solid popcorn flick. It's just, like, it's at the cusp of being a really good movie, and it has a lot, like, the universe I am fascinated by, because basically the idea of this movie is it's a fantasy world in modern day. So, like, orcs, elves, fairies, all that stuff exist, but it's, yeah, like, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not the old fantasy era, so they're kind of, like, coexisting. And you have basically, like, the orcs, you know, they were famously opposed to the humans and all this other stuff. Constant warring with humans and elves. So you have, like, the upper-class people are all the elves because, you know, they live forever and they're stupid rich. You have the humans, basically, life isn't much different than it is, you know, for us now. And then the orcs are kind of like the lower-class citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got, like, the only other race we really see are fairies, but they don't look like they have, like, actual intelligence. You see one just flying around a bird feeder, and he gets swatted by a broom. It's in the trailer.
Hmm.
With a pretty hilarious line attached to it. What's that?
All right, and I'm not, I don't want to crap on this movie without saying it, but I am going to crap on it a little bit. This just does not sound like a fun movie for me.
This sounds like they're like one of the After Hours skits on crack. On no, like it's legit. Yeah. It's like a breakdown of like how do we know Sauron is the bad guy? We don't see him do anything inherently evil, other than just like, hey, maybe me and the orcs shouldn't be forced to live in volcano wasteland. How come everything's so segregated? And like, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like you viewing something from a different angle.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, he's also wanting to take over the entire world, blah, blah, blah. That's not the point. But so it's just the, you know, that's what it kind of reminds me of. It's where the elves are all these like, you know, beautiful, rich, everything is nice and pretty. Yeah,
they even drive through like elf territory and it's just super like clean, really nice looking. Everything super is awesome. Suburb. Like, yeah, like, and everybody's dressed like super fancy and nice looking, and everybody looks rich, and they have orc drivers. Yeah. Yeah. Like, drive, like, they.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay, so make the sequel a horror movie, Bright 2, Get Out.
Oh, yeah. No. It's.
you monster.
Yeah, no, like, it is interesting. And they even talk about stuff like, you know, orcs play linemen in football. Like, it's.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, no, it's actually.
cause okay, we get what you're going for, Landis.
Yeah, pretty much. Like that is heavy-handed to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, the movie is still a solid popcorn flick. There's some cool action sequences in there. Like I said, it's just like it doesn't feel like anything was really accomplished in the movie.
Yeah,
and that's the problem I had with it. Yes.
All right. So what's Will Smith's buddy? Like, what race is he?
Orc.
That's an orc. Okay.
Yeah. He's the only orc police officer. I think, like, you know, Judy Hopps situation going on.
Oh, no,
yeah,
no.
He's
just
making fun of him and hates him. But
yeah, no, I didn't know
more
what
gritty.
I didn't know what he was, so I just thank you for clarifying that. I probably won't see it. It just does not look, it does not appeal to me.
It's not a long movie.
It's I'm happy that they're doing stuff like this. Like, it's really neat that they're branching out and doing things like this, but it just does not appeal to my sensibilities.
I'm sure I'll probably get there, but they're, like, now that I actually have, like, a Blu-ray player set up now, there's so much other stuff that I've missed that I need to see first.
Right, right.
So.
So anyway, all right, guys, that's going to do it for the regular show now.
Real quick, just yes. Because I don't know if you guys knew this. Did you know that Bendis almost died?
Yeah.
Yeah, he like woke up one morning with a real serious like MRSA infection.
Oh.
Like he woke up, he couldn't see. Like, so, yeah, I saw that on Instagram. Like.
Yeah, he's had some. He's been battling some pretty significant health issues of late.
Yeah.
How's he doing now?
I mean, he's on the mend.
Okay, good.
But like, yeah, he had MRSA.
Yeah.
Ooh. So yeah, because like, there was something on Instagram where he had an eye patch and was talking about like he woke up Friday morning and then Monday he almost died. So it was like, I didn't know if that happened, but it happened when we didn't do Christmas Eve. We didn't do a show on Christmas Eve.
Oh yeah.
Because
yeah,
that very much would have been because it happened like the first week of December, last week of November. And
yeah,
I only just
like
saw
that.
It like last week.
Well, I'm hoping that.
So I just wanted to bring
wishes to Bendis.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up real quick, like
because yeah, that's why like they're talking about like his tenure, like his beginning at DC might be a little later than planned.
Take all the time.
Yeah, that's one of those things.
Like,
like don't I give him crap. Yeah, but it's very much like no, you take care of yourself first. It's the same thing with like Zack Snyder.
Yeah,
like you absolutely need to. Your focus should be on yourself and your own well-being before you focus on like. These bits of entertainment and media meant for me.
Right.
Like, that is very much secondary.
Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully he's doing... I know he's doing better. Like,
yeah.
Hopefully he continues to improve.
Keep that trend going.
Yep, gets back on track. So, yeah, our picks of the year. I didn't get anything from Lindsay. I meant, has she responded to that Facebook group
yet? I don't think so.
I
that's actually
it.
Why I was checking my phone and then checked my email.
Okay. Yeah, because yeah, I know Mandy gave me a reply.
Yeah.
So, we'll start with Mandy's picks.
And it's the Mandy thing that I absolutely love. We tell her to give us picks... And she gives us multiple for each category.
Well, except for comic books.
Yeah, she did give us one.
But anyway, yeah, so basically what we're going to do for our picks, like instead of – we could easily do a whole show with a bunch of categories for each thing, but we're just going to go with our video game of the year, our comic book of the year, and our movie of the year. And we're just going to keep it as simple as we can. I'm going to mention runner-ups because I can.
Oh, yeah, mine's good. Like, comic book is pretty clear cut. Movie of the year, I feel like we're probably all going to have the same one because it was the best movie to come out in 2017.
I don't know the bit.
Objectively, hands down, it was the. You guys are weird. I don't know.
We'll get there.
But video game for me is like, that's going to have to be a conversation that I apologize in advance that you're going to have to listen to.
Yeah, no problem. We're good.
All right, well, we'll start with Mandy. She gave us Sonic Mania, and then she also gave us the Kingdom Hearts remakes, which I feel like don't count.
I mean, they came out.
They did. They were released in 2017, so I'll give it to her. But yeah, Sonic Mania was her game of the year.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say.
Which I've only heard great things about, so.
Yeah. No, I have also only heard phenomenal things about Sonic, Sonic Mania, and I keep meaning to buy it on my Switch, and I just keep not doing that. Anyway, her comic book of the year, no surprise here, Skin and Earth. That is the comic book by her favorite musical artist, Lights.
Didn't she say, like, duh?
Yes, she did. As if that were a question. I already had it typed up. And I also had her movie of the year typed up. It was, in fact, Wonder Woman with an honorable mention to Coco because she really, really loved that film. And I did, too. It was really, really good. All right. Dalton, hit us.
All right. Comic book of the year. And it pisses me off, but Iceman. I've actually really, really, really enjoyed that book. Like, it is a really good book, in my opinion. And so that's my comic book of the year. Video game of the year, I'm going to have to say Injustice 2. I've been bouncing that one in South Park, Fracture But Whole. Those have been the two in my head the entire time. But Injustice 2, I have put so much time into.
But you actually play Fractured But Whole.
Versus the autoplay feature.
I do play Injustice 2. Just when you see me, I'm usually just farming it on my when I'm at work. But I do put a lot of time in Justice 2. I do love that game. And then movie, I'm going to have to say Spider-Man Homecoming. That's probably been the most enjoyable movie of the year for me.
Solid film. Solid film. Asa, what do you got?
He's mad at me. I didn't pick it right.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the best
actually,
movie.
Actually, I kind of want you to go so I can the movie bits last.
This is how it's always done.
I just want to hear it.
It's not a bit. It's a fact. Comic book is, I think, Detective Comics for me. January, it started with, it was that right at the end of Monster Men, and then it picked up into the Shiva run, which was, oh boy, just, it's so good, and it stays so good. Like, it's my favorite thing to come out of Rebirth by not a lot. Like, it's, because Batman has been great. Batman is the number two for me out of Rebirth, but like, Detective has just been so consistently good with just like great characters, great storytelling. Like everything feels emotional and impactful and really matters. And like things that happen, there is significant fallout that lasts for more than an issue.
Right.
Like people change the way they behave based on events that happened in the first arc. Video games is hard for me because there's been a lot that came out. I haven't played Fractured But Whole yet. Like, I'm about to platinum Stick of Truth, and then I'm going to start on Fractured But Whole. Injustice 2 was a stupid amount of fun. Like, that had a great story mode. The fighting in it is fun. And it's gorgeous. Same thing with Tekken minus story mode. Like, Tekken 7 was just, that one was a lot of fun. It actually pulled me away from Injustice 2 for a while. And then the two that I really, and also, like, Mario Odyssey and Legend of Zelda came out. I wasn't as big of a fan as Breath of the Wild as most people were, but it's what got me to buy a Switch. And then Mario Odyssey isn't my favorite 3D Mario game, but it was phenomenal. And it was just so much fun and pretty and polished and just beautiful. But the two for me are between Horizon Zero Dawn and Cuphead. Because Horizon Zero Dawn, again, gorgeous game, just so much fun. The story has been really intense. I haven't finished it yet, though. Whereas Cuphead, again, nothing looks like it. Nothing sounds like it. It goes for this aesthetic, and it nails it on top of just the controls. And it is the most infuriating, frustrating, BS, rewarding, satisfying experience that I've played. So I think that I got to give it to Cuphead for my game of the year.
That's fair.
Yeah, I actually beat it. Like I think it was, I don't remember what we were doing, but Allie and Shannon were here as I was just throwing my head against the wall on the devil, and then I finally won, and I was just like, oh, I did it. And then movie of the year, John Wick Chapter 2.
Damn it! How did we not think of that?
Yeah, how did you not think of that?
No.
It is the coolest, best movie, most fun I've had in a movie theater ever.
Because remember, Ace is still lined up for John Wick Chapter 3.
That's right.
I have my placeholder. The construction at Marcus kind of threw it off, but I am still...
Where my spot is lifted, that's where he is.
My spot is still guaranteed.
Yeah. No, I actually was thinking, like, because I don't think Asa really liked any of the Marvel movies that much. Oh, no. Yeah. Okay.
No, I didn't, because they weren't as good as John Wick Chapter 2. You want to talk about a movie that should have made $1 billion? It's John Wick. And then a movie that should have made $2 billion is John Wick Chapter 2.
They were really fun movies. I'll give it to you for sure. All right, so
he just that was a compliment, Asa, I promise.
But he said it like you say things.
You kind of did. I'm trying to save you.
Oh, it's fine. It's fine. In a different comedic effect. All right, so for my picks, video game is actually pretty cut and clear. Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild. It's the first single player game I've beaten since BioShock Infinite.
Ooh.
Because single-player games these days, like I've talked about it before, video games for me are a social experience. I very much, I play games to play with people. I don't play games anymore because I actually want to play through a story. I know that that's wrong. I don't know why I can't do it, but I just can't finish games anymore. I enjoy them.
It's easier to watch a movie, because a movie is a 2.5 hour time investment, and you're in and out.
Yeah.
Whereas games like Persona 5, that's 65 hours. More than.
Yeah.
Like, even Breath of the Wild, like, I mean, you can do stuff pretty quick if you do everything, but if you hit the main story points, that's 15, 20?
Yeah, I mean, you can knock it out in 20 hours pretty easily. Like, I put 40 hours into that game.
Right.
Because I was actually interested in going around collecting armor sets and taking advantage of all the stuff in the world, which, like, is something that I haven't been interested in doing in a sandbox game in a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the last sandbox game that I put this much time into was probably Crackdown, the first one.
Crackdown 2. So disappointing.
Yeah. Especially with how good the first one was. Anyway, so yeah, Breath of the Wild, like, hands down, is my game of the year. There were a bunch of other ones that could have been contenders, but ended up being massively disappointing to me.
You haven't played Mario yet, have you?
I have not.
Okay.
And I do need to, but...
Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying, like, that would change your mind or anything. I just didn't...
Yeah. But, like, Star Wars Battlefront 2 had potential.
God.
And then...
We want to talk about worst of the year.
Yeah,
the story mode on that game is amazing. Like, I don't want to undercut anybody, but that just the story mode, that's really good.
I very much like. I understand that the gameplay is awesome. The gameplay, the story, like they cooked me like a Wagyu steak, and then they took a dump on it in front of me. That's what just happened.
Progression system, loot box stuff, changing the prices, the rubber banding. In just general connectivity issues in the multiplayer, which it's a dice game. So, I mean, I'm a person that, like, whenever Fallout 4 comes out and they're like, oh, well, yeah, I mean, it's really buggy. And same thing with Skyrim, but it's Bethesda. Like, no, that's not an excuse. Like, I don't care who you are. You're still putting out a buggy, unfinished product. Yep. Like, and so, but on top of everything, it could have maybe been overlooked if everything else had been stellar in that game. But, and also, you and Shannon are the only two people I know that like that story.
He's looking at Dalton when he says that.
Yeah.
wow.
That's important.
Well, you're the one that just said that you loved it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that was Battlefront 2. Destiny 2, same thing. But, like, the in-game content, like, I don't even care as much about, like, a lot of the stuff that other people are upset about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care about the microtransactions being awful, and I don't care because I don't use them. I don't need them. I have no interest in them. And I don't even care about the DLC stuff. Like, that's fine. The problem that I have with the game is once you hit max light level, there's no reason to continue doing stuff. Like, it's fun if I can get a group of people together to do it, but not everybody is as driven to play games by the social experience as I am.
Right.
And I get that. But, yeah, that's... Yeah. So, yeah, it's very, like, clear-cut Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, game of the year. Super amazing game. Comic book... is probably going to be Tom King's Rebirth Batman run. That's what I've been consistently just enjoying the crap out of.
Mm-hmm.
Honorable mentions probably go to Charles Soule's Daredevil run. That's just continuing to be really good. And the all-new Wolverine run. I forget who writes it now. But that's been just stellar. Mm-hmm. I've been really enjoying that too. And then movie, Thor Ragnarok is my... movie pick of the year.
You guys are weird.
With honorable honorable mentions there to Spider-Man Homecoming and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Not even going to give it an honorable mention.
And now Ace is down to two shows a week. He quit.
And
did you see a non-Marvel movie this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, Last Jedi.
Disney. I'm going to change it. You see a non-Disney movie? No, you haven't because I bought everything.
Yeah, I was actually trying to think if I have seen it because I saw John Wick.
Yeah, you saw Justice League.
And I saw Justice League.
Okay.
And I've seen non-Disney movies this year. Not many.
Because you can't.
Yeah, pretty much. Because that was Star Wars, all the Marvel movies. Coco. Yeah. I saw more movies than that. But, It. It was another one. If I was going to give best horror movie, it would be It. Basically, if I went into categories, John Wick would get a game or a movie of the year in a category.
Yeah, just and that category is movie of the year. Also, I still need to see Thor. I haven't.
Oh, my God. Like, the fact that I liked Thor more than Spider-Man or
Guardians of the Galaxy. I honestly expect you to say Spider-Man.
Yeah, that should tell you guys how much I liked Thor.
Mm-hmm. And I don't get me wrong, I love Thor Ragnarok. It's just Homecoming is the perfect embodiment of high school.
Thor Ragnarok just blew me away. Oh, it's so good. Anyway, all right, guys, that's going to do it for us. You know what? Hit us up on Facebook if you agree or disagree with our stuff. If you have, what's your version of John Wick? That's like, you guys are weird for not saying this.
It's called John Wick.
There it is.
Chapter 2.
Hit us up on Facebook. I'm curious.
Tell
us how
much you like John Wick Chapter 2. Also, Josh, I expect an email.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you guys. Ace will be back on Tuesday with Mr. 100 and the Five-Star Man. We're going to actually start that Tuesday rotation back. So Nerds for Hire is not this coming Tuesday, but the following. We're actually going to have a show for the first time in a while.
Nobody gets sick. Put yourself in a bubble.
Oh, no. If you're sick, you're showing up. I will drag your ass out of your bed, bring a bucket and some Kleenex. We're doing it.
We're doing the show. It's got to happen.
I'm just going to be weeping for an hour because they're canceling Iceman.
Yeah, that's fine. I would listen to that show. All right. Bye, everybody.